bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle. Welcome to Pep Talk, the Friday edition, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have any questions, 437-1620 is the text line today to talk to our guest. In the studio, we have Robbie Mott with us from Trek Bicycles of Pensacola. How are you doing today?
Good morning, PJ. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fantastic. A little rainy outside.
It's nice. It cleans up some of the pollen that's in the air and clean the roads for us.
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually a good, I guess, first topic to talk about this morning is rain and biker safety. What sort of tips do you have for people on this rainy Friday?
Don't ride on the white line. That's the slickest part of the road, especially when it's raining.
Mm-hmm.
So avoid that if possible.
Well, I know in Pensacola, downpours at times can be quite heavy, and that can be dangerous for a bicycle, especially if you're a driver who's maybe passing one. Any tips for them? I know that not every area has a bike lane to keep them safe.
True. Try to stay off main drags. Service streets are the best.
Mm-hmm.
And just, try to get away from traffic as much as possible, especially in this rainy weather.
Yeah. Reflective gear?
Reflective gear is good. Rain gear is great, but just anything that can make you be seen.
Wonderful.
High-vis colors and a lot of lights.
Yep, absolutely. So it is a Friday edition, and Robbie is here to talk about e-bikes today in particular. So for those that don't know, what's an e-bike?
It's a big loaded question. E-bikes, have made a big popularity in the United States in the past 8 to 10 years. And we're seeing more and more people on e-bikes, which is a great thing. And there's a lot of misnomers and things people just don't know about the e-bikes and what they can and can't do for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, e-bikes is going to help you pedal down the road, and it's going to help you put more miles on your bike and help, get you to where you're going a little bit quicker.
Yep. So there's an assist feature with an e-bike that helps people. They do a little bit of pedaling, but then there's also the assist, right?
Correct. You have an assist, and you also have some of them have a throttle also,
mm-hmm.
depending on the output that you're looking to do or the type of riding you're looking to do.
I was reading up on this a little bit, and I know that when you're coming up to a stop sign, for example, you have to give yourself a little bit more time to stop.
On some of them. On some of them, you're going to have the, once you stop pedaling, the motor's going to disengage on a lot of the pedal assists. With some of the throttles, it's actually going to disengage a second or two later that I found. So it's just all just got to be careful on whatever you're riding. So test rides are always good to do before you purchase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I would imagine there's a little bit of an adjustment period if you're going from a regular bike to suddenly an e-bike.
There is. And some of them, you don't even know that the motor's being engaged. So it's all dependent on the bike that you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. So what are some common misconceptions about e-bikes?
So a lot of questions that we get, people come into the store and talking about, they want to know the different classes. There's three different classes of e-bikes. You have a class one, a class two, and a class three. And a class one is going to be a pedal assist bike. That means when you pedal the bike, you can get assist from the motor.
Mm-hmm.
When you stop pedaling the bike, the motor will stop. And this one, the class one, will go up to 20 miles an hour. So then you go on to the class two is going to be a pedal assist. There again, you pedal the bike, you get some output from the motor, and it also has a throttle. So you can stop pedaling and engage a throttle, and you can basically act as a scooter or a motorized, almost a moped at that point. And then also that one will cut out at 20 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the class three, which is going to be a pedal assist, and it'll go up to 28 miles an hour.
Okay. So I know that one of the questions with e-bikes that people sometimes have is, when you're pedaling, does that do anything with the battery at all?
It does. When you're pedaling, we get that one out. Ask a lot also, when I pedal the bike, will the battery charge?
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, I haven't seen a bike that's, if you pedal the bike, you're going to get, it's like an alternator on the car. It's not going to charge. And if it did charge, you'd be pedaling very hard to get that thing to rejuvenate some power to charge that battery with an alternator.
Absolutely. So let's discuss the difference a little bit here between the pedal assist e-bike and the power on demand throttle assist.
So the base, just like you said, the pedal assist is going to be when you pedal the bike, you're going to get output from the motor. And a lot of times you're going to have different modes. So you have a low, medium, and a high, or a eco touring sport in a turbo mode, just depending on the model and, you know, how it works. But with the throttle, basically, it, like a motorcycle, you twist the throttle and it goes.
Mm-hmm. Robbie Mott from Trek Bicycles is our guest. If you have any questions today, 437-1620, we would love to hear from you. I know that Robbie in the past has gotten quite a few questions, so let's go for a lot of questions today.
Yeah, love that.
So I know that in certain communities, I think you mentioned on one of the prior shows about even like college campuses, there are riding restrictions now for some of these bikes.
On some places you do have the riding restrictions. State parks, national parks, you know, there are some restrictions there too. So it depending on the type of e-bike that you have, there's some places that aren't going to allow throttle assist bikes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of state parks and national parks are saying yes to pedal assist bikes, since you're still in charge of the motors by pedaling and it's a bicycle still. So you can ride a pedal assist bike on a bike path, some sidewalks, if you're allowed to ride a bicycle on a sidewalk. So any place you can ride a bicycle,
mm-hmm.
you can ride a pedal assist bike as of right now.
Okay. We did have a question come in here. So it says, in light of last week's tragic cycling fatalities of NHL player and brother, what equipment, precautions, or mentality do you recommend for cyclists to decrease the chances of being struck by a vehicle when sharing the road? Are there local bike paths or trails that you would recommend?
Yes. So lights. You know, the more obnoxious you can be with a headlight and taillight, you know, to catch any type of, you know, driver's attention from multitasking. You know, the drivers are multitasking in the car. And we talked about, you know, kids going through, you know, people going through school zones and not mm-hmm. paying attention, you know, last time I was on. But, you know, if you have anything that's going to catch someone's attention, headlights, taillights, reflective vests, neon green clothing, pink and yellow socks, because your feet move when you pedal the bike. You want to also ride with traffic because you are a moving vehicle. Mm-hmm. You don't want to ride against traffic. You're just, by doing that, you're just asking, you know, for an accident to happen even quicker,
mm-hmm.
if you're riding against traffic. But riding with traffic, you know, just high vis clothing. And if you know that where you're going to go from point A to point B, if you can stay off highly populated roads by vehicles that has a very small bike lane and take a detour to go onto smaller service roads that have less traffic, you know, that's a great option too.
Mm-hmm. I know that, like I said, they're not every area of the county or city have bike trails or bike paths specifically for people. So I'm glad that you brought up the rules of the road. Are there any particular bike paths that people can take in the county to kind of get around stuff?
There are some bike paths designated. Actually, 98 is a national bike path.
Mm.
But, you know, Milton has a Rails to Trails bike path. You could go out to Pensacola Beach. They have bike paths down, you know, the beach road. Gulf Breeze has a nice path that's off the road that goes around, the Soundside Drive and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's really nice. A lot of people talk about. Out in Orange Beach has some great bike paths out around Lake Shelby.
Mm.
So there are some out there.
Okay, nice. Another question. Can you explain about e-bike batteries? Are there different options to buy batteries that will allow you to go further distances on a charge?
It depending on the manufacturer of the bicycle. So some bike manufacturers, you can get larger batteries that will extend the life or the longevity of the battery, the length of the time that you're on the bike. So you'd have to just research and find out, you know, what bike you're looking at, if you can get a bigger battery that can let you stay on the bike longer.
Mm-hmm. We do have another question, but we'll circle back to that in just a second because I want to kind of stay on this riding on the roads topic. So what does one need to equip their e-bike to ride on the roads, and is a license required?
A license is not required to ride an e-bike on the road. The only thing that you got to remember is when you're on the bicycle, it's like I said before, you're a moving vehicle, so you got to obey the laws of the road. So stop at stop signs, stop at traffic lights, you know, right turns, you should be signaling just like we do in a car.
Mm-hmm.
So all the rules of the road, you got to apply to a bicycle also.
Absolutely. And then circling back to this next question, if you want to ride a bike for exercise as opposed to using it for commuting, what is the argument for buying an e-bike?
The argument for buying an e-bike for exercise. Everybody rides a bicycle for a different reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're looking to, if you're looking to do a triathlon, for instance, you're really not going to look at an e-bike to train on because you can't ride that e-bike in a triathlon. If you're looking to get back into just some fitness and haven't been on a bike in a long time, you have some health issues, an e-bike's a great start to actually start getting back on the road because it's going to allow you to ride longer, ride further, and enjoying the ride a little bit more than a normal bicycle would.
Mm-hmm.
And give the ability to, for a lot of people, you know, are very timid of leaving their neighborhood because that's their comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
But with an e-bike, you can get up that hill now. I can make it to Pensacola Beach. I can make it over the bridge because if I get tired, I have a little bit of assist that can help me up and over the bridge, and I continue pedaling. The biggest thing is just getting out and moving and pedaling the bike.
Mm-hmm. And I certainly would think that as people are coming into Trek Bicycle, you or your staff are there to answer those kind of questions in terms of what are you planning on using the bike for, helping them kind of figure out and gauge which bike is going to be better for them.
Exactly. And everyone that comes in the store, all the staff there, I mean, it's an interview process. So we're there to help you find the right bike that you're looking for, you know, and please come in and see Jarvis, myself, Clifford, and take us on a bike ride. We'd love to go through the neighborhood, get out of the store and go see what's going on outside.
Mm-hmm.
So
awesome. So for people that are, I guess going back to my prior statement, people would want to definitely come in to talk to you about what kind of bike that they're looking for based on their need. But then there are people that shop online. So if they're looking at bikes online, I guess which is better, the online shopping or going into a store?
Of course, I'm going to say, shopping in the store is going to be the best.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing with the e-bikes is, what's going to happen after the sale? You know, who's going to take care of the bike? What happens if it breaks? What happens if there's any warranty issues? What happens if there's a failure? Who are you going to take it to? Are you going to take it to the online store? No. There are a lot of times we get bikes that come into the store that people bought online and they have an issue and I can't help them because I can't get parts. They have to do a warranty. For instance, if there is a warranty issue, they'll tell you to send the bike back to them.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have to break the bike down, put that 70, 80 pound bike, because a lot of the e-bikes that are online we see are very heavy, that you have to ship it to the manufacturer or the person that you bought it from. So you're paying the bill for the shipping and the boxing of the bike. And then they're going to send you another bike that's going to be in a box that you have to put together. And hopefully you don't have the same issue, 6 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
But when you buy it in a local shop, you're going to have somebody that's going to back the product, that's going to help you every step of the way and make sure that you get on the right size and the right bike that you're going to want to ride and enjoy riding.
Mm-hmm. Robbie Mott is our guest from Trek Bicycle of Pensacola, 437-1620. If you have any questions for our guest today, talking about e-bikes today. So you kind of mentioned this already, so people can come in and do a test ride. Tell me more about that.
We get to go for bike rides every day at the store. We get to have fun. Test rides are worth their weight in gold because you can ride. There's so many different types of e-bikes now. There's a, if you want to go ride just the beach on a beach cruiser, single speeds, you don't want any gears. And, you just want something to help you fight the headwinds. We got a bike for that. Or if you're looking at a bike that you're looking to commute to and from to work on, you're looking, 10, 12 miles one way. We got an e-bike to do that. You want an e-bike to go mountain bike riding. There's an e-bike for that. Or a road bike if you're getting up in age where before I could ride 22, 23 miles an hour and ride for 60, 70 miles And now I'm having troubles getting up the hills or staying up with the group at 20 plus miles an hour. There's an e-bike to do that for you now that's going to help you stay with that group at 20 plus miles an hour and get up those bigger hills that now you weren't able to do, but now you can still.
Mm-hmm. That's nice to have that extra assistance.
Exactly.
Like you said. So another texter says, I bought an e-bike online and had problems soon after I had it. I could not get anyone in customer service. My recommendation is don't buy online, is what they said.
Thank you for that. Thank you very much for that one. We see that a fair amount, and it's very frustrating for us because we definitely want to help everyone, you know, stay on their bikes and get out and ride. And if we're not able to help you, it sucks, mm-hmm. to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely. So going to the e-bike batteries, how long does it take to typically charge those batteries, and then how far can the battery take you?
I'll talk about the couple ones that we have in the store that we sell.
Mm-hmm.
So one style battery that has a mid-drive system, which means the motor's in the cranks, that's made by Bosch. Roughly, you can get a charge time about, if it's completely dead, you're looking about 5 hours on a charge time. But you can get about 80 miles per charge on the battery. You know, they're saying between 40 and 90. So I'm saying, you know, about 70 or 80, mm-hmm. depending on the mode that you're using. All depends on the mode that you use, the weight of the rider, the terrain that you're riding. So it's going to vary from rider to rider.
Mm-hmm.
Then you also have other bikes that have a smaller motor, smaller battery, that you can charge within about 4 hours, and you're going to get about 30 miles per charge.
Okay. Another question for you from our text line. What about all the battery fires that are taking place?
I'm glad someone brought that up because that's one of the topics I want to talk about also today. So you've been watching the news or reading online about batteries and people catching fire with their e-bikes and things like that. Yes, that does happen. And a lot of it is due to the type of battery that you're getting or the type of bike that you have that's either UL approved or not UL approved. There's a lot of them that are not UL approved, so they don't go through the rigorous testing of the battery charging. And also, we're looking at how to charge the battery. You know, a lot of people will think, just like a car battery, if you have a trickle charger, you know, if your battery in your boat, for instance, it's going to sit all winter long, you're going to put a trickle charger on it so it doesn't lose the charge. If you do that to a e-bike battery, that's going to continue charging it the whole time because it does not have a trickle in it.
Mm.
So when you charge an e-bike battery, you want to charge it for that 4 or 5 hours. When it's fully charged, you want to unplug it. A lot of times people will leave it plugged in, and that's where you're going to get some of the fires.
Mm-hmm.
Also, leaving it out in the sun, a lot of heat also can ignite those things too.
I know a lot of people probably just take their cell phone. You know, they're used to charging it overnight, and so they think, well, I have these other things that need a charger. Let me just throw it on the charger overnight.
The same mentality, but with an e-bike battery, you definitely want to plug it in, charge it, and then unplug it.
Mm-hmm. So definitely do it during your hours that you're planning on being awake.
Exactly.
So that way you can unplug it and make sure everything is safe.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Batteries, how do you waterproof them against the rain?
A lot of them are actually somewhat waterproof to begin with. So you're going to, you know, some people, when they're traveling with them, if you have an exposed battery, take it off the bike. And, you know, or if you can't take it off the bike and it's exposed, put a plastic bag around it with either some duct tape or something like that if you're traveling. But if you're on the road itself and you get caught in the rain today, when you stop, you know, just clean the terminals and clean the bike. But for the most part, the batteries are pretty much self-contained.
Mm-hmm. Robbie Ma from Trek Bicycle is our guest, 437-1620, if you have any questions today. So do the lights on the bike work if the battery's dead?
Some bikes have lights, some bikes don't. So depending on the bike, models that we have actually have headlights and taillights. And there's other bikes that we also have that don't have any lights. So a lot of times if they do have headlights and taillights on the bike, they'll pretty much turn on. They're daytime running lights. So when the battery turns on, you start going, the lights are going to turn on.
Mm-hmm.
So when you turn the battery off, you know, the lights are going to go off too.
So you've mentioned that e-bikes have been around for a while. So I would imagine there are people coming in that are looking to upgrade their e-bike and they have a old bike, old battery. I know that there's a big thing about battery recycling. Is that something that Trek Bicycle does at all?
There is some recycling. Now they're actually charging for recycling fee in the very beginning for the recycling. It's call to recycling for a lot of the batteries that they do use for these lithium ion batteries. So they are recycling them in this day and age.
Awesome. So I know that you mentioned about, again, fitting people for the right bike, and maybe they're going over a three-mile bridge. They need a little bit of an assist. Obviously, there's an assist if they're riding. Is there also an assist if people want to walk their bikes?
Ooh, the bike assist, the walk assist mode. The walk assist mode's great because if you're going up a hill, you can, the bike can propel itself just by making it easier to push. Also, with a lot of people now, with because the bikes are heavier, the self-assist or the walk-assist modes can actually help ride the bike up onto a bike rack. So some bike racks now to transport the bikes have ramps that you can actually push up a ramp and put it on the rack. So that'll also help you push that bike up that on that rack.
Nice. Well, that's good to know. What type of racks, this is from the text line, what type of racks are available for e-bikes for my car so I can carry 2 to 4 bikes?
Once I said ramps to the bikes, that gave me another punchline for something to talk about. So that's perfect. So, yeah, so there are racks that are e-bike approved or rated for heavier weight. So if you have a older rack, you know, that might not be able to hold an e-bike. But a lot of the manufacturers now are going to have racks that'll hold bikes, you know, 50, 60, 70 pounds per rack or per tray per bike. Mm-hmm. So you want to look at that if you're looking to transport the bikes. Also, if you have a motorhome or a fifth wheel, you're also wanting to make sure you get the right rack for those applications because those are also different.
Mm, interesting. So I know that with e-bikes, everything is on your phone these days. So what kind of apps are available that help with your e-bike?
A lot of apps. You know, just pick one. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to sync the phone. A lot of times you're going to sync the phone to the bike, or you're going to use it just the GPS to, you know, calculate your distance, time, and averages. But there's MapMyRide. Garmin's got some apps. Trek has their own app for some of the different e-bikes. So,
okay. Can people bring their e-bikes into your Trek store for services?
Yes, definitely. The only thing that we cannot do on some of the e-bikes is the maintenance on the motors and batteries because we don't have a lot of the stuff you can buy online. I don't have any of the diagnostic tools or any of the tools to work on that stuff. But we can definitely do flat repairs, do, you know, chains, brakes, headset adjustments, anything that the bicycle needs, we can assist with it.
Okay. Well, we have about a minute left in our segment here with you. Man, time flies.
Man, that was quick.
So the Pensacola shop, I understand that there are ride events that happen periodically.
Definitely. There's a couple different groups. I mean, we have the West Florida Wheelman that has bike rides almost every day. So that's a good group to actually, you know, look up online. And, you know, there's other riding groups throughout the town. I know there's a slow ride coming up in Pensacola, and I don't have the date. I was just given that information the other day. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so